A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thanks again for tuning in to another edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company, coming to you today from the Town Hall Media, what is this, compound, studio, empire?
The bunker.
Yeah, we're taking the show on the road. So a little bit different, a little bit messier than it normally is. I'm also very pleased to have guest in person. Matt Vespa is with us. How are you, sir?
Great. How about you?
I'm fantastic. Storm Paglia is with us as well. These are the genius minds behind the Triggered podcast. What is Triggered all about besides an excuse for you guys to curse into a microphone every now and then?
We do love to swear.
Yeah.
we swear a lot. So the impetus behind it was we were really sick and tired of the cancel culture SJW outrage thing that the left loves to do. They love to get mad over PC culture and words and stuff like that. So that's why we started the podcast, to take that on and all the hot news of the day, of course, and strong Second Amendment supporters that we are. So we get the gun angle in there as well.
Absolutely.
And how long have you guys been doing this?
116 episodes.
Yeah.
Wow.
We don't do it daily. We do about two a week, sometimes three a week. And we've been on for about a year now.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, and you guys were nice enough to have me on the Triggered podcast here this week. And we talked a lot about gun control because there's so much of this going on right now. As a matter of fact, I should let you know, normally I do like to do this show same day, but I'm going to be traveling on Friday, so we're actually recording this Thursday afternoon. So hopefully nothing major happens in the 8 hours or so between taping this and this getting posted. But it could happen because there's so much confusion right now. You know, you talk with the folks on the Hill and they're saying, well, we don't know what the president wants. You know, the president will come out and he'll talk about, well, we got to do something about background checks. And then he'll come back and say, well, no, you're not going to do universal background checks. And maybe it's red flags and maybe it's not red flags. I think that's one of the, there's so much frustration. You've got senators like Roy Blunt from Missouri saying, we just want to know what the president is going to get behind so we know what to get behind. And meanwhile, you've got gunners out there saying, don't get behind any gun control, proposals. We don't want you to get behind any of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's me. I mean, I don't want anything whatsoever, but I could stomach maybe background checks, maybe if we get something in return, like we discussed on Triggered. But at this point, the president should know that his core group of supporters, the red meat conservatives, do not want to see any gun control whatsoever. And I think that it would be a major, major tactical mistake on the part of the GOP to get behind any sort of gun control right now. Because in this debate, they say, well, 90% of people. But when you really drill down and refine the questions to details of these policy proposals, the support drops dramatically and basically becomes party line. So I think it's a lose-lose situation for the GOP here. The only one who stands to benefit from any sort of gun control getting through would be the left.
Yeah. The only way this moves is if Trump gets personally behind whatever proposal, whether it's red flag laws or expanded background checks, because that means that he gives cover to Senate Republicans. But that's going to be a long and concerted effort, and to Storm's point, it's going to hurt his reelection chances, because let's be honest. His base, they're pro-Second Amendment, and they view this as
very
a backdoor to either gun confiscation bans. Or a national registry with the expanded background checks.
So, and I think you're both right. But I think it is, he is sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place right now, right?
Yeah,
because, the drumbeat from the media is do something. Gun control groups are really, really active right now in terms of, driving people to their Congress critters to say, do something. And the president, he doesn't want to be seen as not taking action. He wants to be seen as a steadfast leader. But at the same time, as you say, the proposals that are being floated out there are coming from the gun control side. And so anything that he would adopt, whether it's red flag laws or expanded background checks, those are gun control ideas.
Right.
And so what are you going to give gun owners? And saying, well, I'm not going to take your guns away, that's not giving gun owners anything, right? That, if you want to talk, quote unquote, compromise, then gun owners have to come out ahead in some form or fashion. And I think right now the fear is that gunners are just going to take it on the chin. The Second Amendment is going to take it on the chin. And, by the way, the stuff that the president is proposing, or I shouldn't say the stuff that the president is proposing, the stuff that the gun control advocates are asking for won't make a difference in stopping these types of attacks. So it's a lose-lose, as you say, situation for the president, unless there's some 11th hour legislation that actually would, you know, address active assailants or violent crime more generally, would benefit gun owners in some way, and would actually, you know, cause some gun control advocates some heartburn, because right now their worst case scenario is, well, we don't get everything we want. We only get half of what we want. That's not a worst case. I mean, that should not be the worst case scenario for gun control advocates right now.
Yeah, I think that there's never going to be a give and take situation for them. It's always take, take, take.
Mm-hmm.
And to willingly give in when we control one of the chambers of Congress and a divided government, I mean, we control two parts of that, really,
right?
Because you need the House, the Senate, and the President's signature. So why should we be the ones to completely cave and give in? I just don't, like, I can't square where that narrative's going right now. And the President signals he's for it, he's against it, he's for it, he's against it. And I agree with Senator Blunt. He needs to come out and say what he would be willing to support, which hopefully is nothing.
Yeah.
And then we can move on from this, because the do something crowd, which kills me, the do something crowd, they're all about these ideas, but never how to implement them or what the details of these policies are,
mm-hmm.
or what the mechanism would be, say, for a mandatory gun buyback or anything like that.
It's or they're just pretty bad ideas.
Well, yeah, of course.
But I mean, it's just, there is no compromise with the Bill of Rights. I don't think we pride ourselves in saying no to the do something crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's assault weapons bans or the banning of so-called high capacity magazines. I mean, that's more than 15 rounds or more than 10 rounds.
More than
right?
10 rounds.
So that's not just rifles that liberals view as scary. That's also a deluge of handguns. So basically, most handguns. So basically, revolvers and, you know, some
shotguns.
Shotguns and some carry
guns. Which they don't like those either.
will be legal. So it is a backdoor.
It is.
Which is a regular gun, by the way.
Not
to fall into that trap.
No, but you're right. And, you know, I saw, I think it was Chris Murphy said on Wednesday, he said, you know, if it's anything less than the universal background checks, boy, that's going to be a real hard sell for my party. And I thought, no, it's not. You guys will gladly accept whatever, you know, middle ground, or if it's Manchin, Toomey, or something less than universal background checks, you'll take that and you'll vote for it. And then you'll turn around and you'll criticize the president for not embracing full, quote unquote, universal background checks. This is where I think it's a trap for the president, because no matter what half measures he may adopt in the name of compromise and getting stuff done, it won't be enough to quell Democrat criticism. It won't be enough to get the anti-gun advocates off of his back. In fact, they'll double down. They'll say, look, President Trump acquiesced to whatever, X, Y, or Z, but he's still beholden to the gun library, else he would have embraced all of these wholeheartedly, which is why he needs to get voted out. Right, those domestic terrorists. And we got to put a Democrat in. You know, it drives me crazy, because it does seem like nobody's able to actually see what their plan is. And it's not that complicated a plan. Like, it's really, we should all be able to pick up on this. And yet I see so many politicians falling into this trap.
Yeah. There's just no clarity on any of this right now. And for every time they come up with these policy ideas, it's the same recycled trash, essentially.
Yeah.
And every time it doesn't pass. So you have to come up with some new ideas at some point, but they're not. So,
well, they're new ideas. Okay, well, we won't just ban them.
Right.
Now we'll tell you got to turn them in, too. There's our big new idea, right?
Well, yeah, the new idea went from, we don't want
to
take your guns.
To, actually, we kind of do.
We want to take all your guns.
Yeah.
The slippery slope is in full-fledged
motion
at this point. Like, we're going down it.
So let me ask you both, because, and again, this is all hypothetical as we're recording this. We don't know what, if anything, the president would support, but if the president comes out and says, okay, listen, we'll do background checks, we'll maybe not universal background checks, but we'll do Manchin to me, you know, all quote-unquote commercial sales, which are already covered, but whatever.
Right.
and we're going to do a red flag law. We're going to tell the states that you get grant money if you institute a red flag law. What does that do to his base? You know, I've been thinking a lot about George W. Bush's presidency and the Harriet Myers moment. Where, you know, he nominates Harriet Myers to the Supreme Court, and conservatives went, whoa,
yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. This is not what we signed on for. And from that moment on, and that was in his second term, but from that moment on, I think George W. Bush was seen as, among conservatives, as you kind of got to keep a close eye on this guy, right? Maybe he's not quite as conservative as we thought. If you're going to have a Harriet Myers moment as a president, it seems to me like you want to have it in your second term. You don't want to have it right as you're gearing up to try to win a second term. And I think this would do, I think this would depress enthusiasm among gun owners. I think that this would absolutely harm him among his base. And again, from a political decision as well as, again, a public safety perspective, I just don't see the upside for Donald Trump in, you know, dancing with the gun control advocates rather than dancing with the Second Amendment supporters that brought him to the White House.
Well, it would do incredible damage, And I am a huge President Trump supporter, but if he puts any sort of gun control across the finish line, it's going to severely damage my opinion of the conservative aspect of his administration. I wasn't a President Trump supporter at the beginning of the primaries. I was a Walker supporter, a Rubio supporter, more establishment guys. Mm-hmm. Came over to Donald Trump at the time, now President Trump, because in part of his strong conservative movement towards judges, justices, the protection of the Second Amendment. Those are all key things that brought him basically the entire rest of the Republican base that wasn't in his camp to begin with. Yeah. And that's why he has, you know, whatever, 92% approval rating within the Republican Party. He does something like this that just immediately slashes his base's enthusiasm and their dedication to his reelection campaign.
We're the pro-gun rights party. We don't have to cater to these anti-gun wingnuts. We don't. Right. And the fact that we should, you know, not even dabbling in their pool, it's a bad idea, because when you see it time and again, you give them an inch, they'll take several hundred miles. And right now, they're animated. I mean, look what happened after Parker. I mean, they got two A-rated NRA governors, Phil Scott and Rick Scott, mm-hmm. Vermont and Florida, respectively, to pass horrible anti-gun legislation, raising the minimum age to buy all guns, not just rifles, long guns, but all guns to 21. Mm-hmm. In Vermont, Phil Scott, I think, banned high-capacity magazines, I believe, among other things. So,
I don't think it was a magazine, it was a waiting period. It was a waiting period.
Still bad.
But
as you mentioned, you know, you got to watch, you know, George Bush at the Harriet Myers, you're going to have to watch, you know, this guy. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to watch some of our own people, too, especially at the state level.
Yeah.
I think that's, if nothing happens at the federal level today, state level is where they'll probably reconcentrate their efforts.
I think so. In fact, we already saw just this week, because lawmakers are still active in California right now, and they passed several gun control bills.
Yeah.
This week, Governor Phil Murphy signed an executive order in New Jersey. And, you know, we had talked on the Triggered podcast about the Virginia elections coming up. And Ralph Northam would love to slap some new gun control laws on the books. And right now, the only thing stopping is about a total of six legislators in both chambers in Virginia. And if those, you know, six pro-gun lawmakers get voted out this November,
we're done.
Virginia, and that's the thing, you know, it used to be, like, even two or three years ago, you're right, you'd hear the rhetoric of, oh, I support the Second Amendment, but we just want a few little changes.
Yeah.
This would not be, you know, minor changes to Virginia's gun laws or any other state where they get the opportunity to do so. They view this now as their best opportunity in decades to move their position forward. And they're going to take as big a chunk out of the Second Amendment as they can in one bite, right? So in Virginia, they're talking about a quote-unquote assault-weapons ban, the return of gun rationing, one gun per month, gun licensing, right? In fact, Cory Booker came out with his plan, pre-debate plan today, calling for he's introduced a bill now, a federal gun license that you would have to renew every 5 years. And it sounds like not only is it a license to exercise your Second Amendment rights, but you also have to, it sounds like you might have to apply for this license every time you purchase a firearm, because you have to report who you're buying a gun from and the make and model of that firearm as well. So this is a gun registry.
Yeah,
Look at that.
Shocker.
That they go all the way to registry away.
Exactly.
But you went down there for the special session.
I did.
And where the playbook was unveiled. In that Democrat playbook that they wanted to debate, mm-hmm. before the Republicans said, you know, shut it down, people who own AR-15s, there was a mandatory turnover period. There was no grandfather clause. Yep. A year to the day. It was July 15th, 2020 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
You have to turn them over. Those people have to turn them over. So I'm very nervous, actually, yeah, for this November, the legislative elections down here.
You talked about, man, you know any good realtors in West Virginia? And you're not the first person, you know, who I've talked to who said that. I mean, when we looked at moving from Northern Virginia 6 years ago, one of the first places it was 2012. And then we started looking in the summer of 2012. One of the places we looked at was a little town called Romney, West Virginia. And I thought to myself, well, if Mitt Romney wins, holy cow, this is going to become like, you know, the Palm Springs for conservatives. Everybody's going to want to go to Romney, West Virginia. It was beautiful. And I might know the name of a realtor out there. So that's my suggestion. But I might also be looking to move further out because, and this opens up a whole other can of worms. We could talk all afternoon about this because I do think that one of the problems that gun control advocates are going to run into, whether it's at the state level or the federal level, is enforcement. And, you know, we've seen already, we talked with David Campbell, who's a commissioner in Effingham County, Illinois, this week on Cam and Company. 500 communities around the nation have become Second Amendment sanctuary counties or communities, either towns or counties. And right now this is largely symbolic. But I guarantee you, if there is a gun ban and a quote-unquote buyback, you're going to have law enforcement officials from, you know, rural counties across the nation telling the federal government, listen, you want to come in and enforce your federal laws, I have at it, but I'm not lifting a finger to help you any more than, you know, the sheriff's office in San Francisco is calling ICE when we get an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
And you're going to see, I think, that tension play out where, fine, you can put these laws on the books, but you're going to have to enforce those laws yourself because we're not going to lift a finger to do it.
Right, that's going to be key. I mean, the local law enforcement, especially in the small towns, I just can't see them doing that. And that's why I want to move to West Virginia, maybe. You know,
Well, when I moved to Central Virginia, it was right after the murders in Newtown, Connecticut. And I met my county sheriff not long afterwards. And one of the first things he asked me, he said, is Dianne Feinstein going to come after our guns? I said, well, she's going to try to. And he said, well, if she does, she's going to find that a lot of people down here aren't going to give them up, me included. And I said, I think I'm going to like where I live. This is good. And we do see that. And, you know, we're going to see a lot more of this. I mean, I strongly encourage everybody watching or listening right now, send an email to your senators, send an email to your U.S. representative, make sure that they're hearing from you. That's the best way to go about this, is to stop these bad laws from, or these bad bills from becoming bad laws in the first place. But we have seen, look, the left has given us 3 years of examples on how to hashtag resist. And if they don't think that every tool that they've used over the last 3 years is not going to be used by, conservatives or gun owners when they have to, they're deluding themselves.
And contact your local representatives, too. I
mean, yes.
Here in Virginia, a huge part of the reason why that special session got shut down so quickly was because of the public contacting those Republican members and saying, you better hold strong on this.
Yeah.
Because that's what we put you there for.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's key. I mean, part of the reason that I moved here to Virginia and settled here was because I'm originally from the People's Republic of New Jersey, and you can't have a gun there, really. I mean, the process to get a gun there is absurd. Mm-hmm. And there's limits on what you can and cannot buy. You have to have a permit to purchase. Like, that freedom is part of the reason why I live here. And once that freedom's gone, the reason to stay in Virginia is pretty much gone for me, you know? I'd like to commute from West Virginia every day.
You maybe get telecommute.
I gotta
stay here. My boss won't let me leave.
Or we can open a town hall, West Virginia.
That's true.
Real estate's pretty affordable out there.
Exactly. Just, you get a whole compound.
I know a good spot in Romney. So there you go.
Romney.
Well, listen, Matt Vespa, Storm Paglia, thank you both for coming on the program today.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate it. Absolutely.
We'll
anytime.
Come to you next time.
I'm down to Farmville. Yeah. We'll take you out for barbecue.
No, I've seen that before, but I'll see it.
You play with the goats. It'll be good. We'll go shooting.
Yeah, shoot some guns.
And in the meantime, thank you for being a part of Variant Arms Cam and Company. Again, make sure that you're in contact with your elected officials this weekend. It is critically important. This is, again, the biggest threat that gun owners have faced since at least the 1990s, if not the 1960s, and the Gun Control Act of 1968. We will be covering all of this for you, of course, at BearingArms.com. And, of course, you can check out Matt and Storm, the Triggered Podcast. They're going to keep you up to date as well. Until we talk again, thanks so much for being a part of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday.